flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Daniel on Twitter wants to know who's the new guy. His name is Scott Anderson. We're giving him a try. See how he does here. It just happens to have the same name as the show. So good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now he's back after battling a cough all week, and it's good to have you back, buddy. I know you were spending a ton of your time in recovery sleeping and didn't dare stay up late and watch the Red Wing game, right?
Oh, I watched Red Wing.
Of course you did.
Yeah. Oh, of course you did. I didn't sleep much.
So the problem with that game is it was exciting, and it is, you know, it's a big win for them, and it's on the West Coast, and I imagine there's a good portion of our audience that didn't catch it. But that's okay. You know, we're used to this, the West Coast trips. 3-2 in a shootout, and they're 2 points out of the playoffs as it stands right now. The shootout, I mean, shootout wins are better than shootout losses, but not as good as regulation wins. But hey, you'll take it. And you know what I love? The last two games, they fell behind 2-0 in both of them. And they have outscored the opposition 7-0 since falling behind 2-0 in those two games. It's good to see. It's good to see them battle back, come from behind, and get the win. And a couple of Red Wings earned a nap, including Mo Sider, who played over 30 minutes of that game last night.
Well, when you get to overtime, that's kind of what happens. But he is such a force. And I'm sure you've seen the highlight of the save. And then the puck goes behind. It's up high, and he tips it out of midair. He's ridiculous. The whole team right now is playing at a level that's so much fun to watch because the team is so young. Yeah, they've got some veteran players, but it's the young guys that are stepping up and making the most of their opportunities. We see Albert Johansson playing as well as he is playing in really his rookie season here. He's settled in very nicely. Simon Edvinson's great, you know. Gustafson looks like he's playing the part now of being the veteran defenseman that they needed to add to this team. He's looking good out there. Marco Kasper has flourished since joining that top line. Remember the first game he played as a Red Wing? The only game he played that season. And he was making plays in that game the first time he ever played. Was willing to go into the corners, dig the puck out, and send it out. I'm like, I'm excited about this. And then he doesn't put up any kind of eye-popping numbers in the minors or at Grand Rapids or wherever he's played. It just was nothing eye-popping. And then, okay, makes the team out of training camp here, gets us the opportunity, and not really seeing much. And I was worried. I'm not worried anymore.
Dude.
You put him up there. I mean, maybe it's just you play with Raymond and Larkin, you're going to play well, but you're expected to. And he is, he's a point-of-game guy since being moved up to that position, and he doesn't look out of place at all. He's adding a little bit of grit that you want to see from those guys. He's been great.
Raymond and Larkin had nothing to do with his full-length pass off the boards right. last night, to, right on Larkin's tape to send him in for the second goal. And, yeah, we have to be encouraged with a 20-year-old.
Well, and I mentioned Johansson earlier. The play that Johansson made on Connor McDavid last night. I mean, McDavid's coming in. It's the scariest player in the NHL coming in on you. And he's, like, totally relaxed, stayed there, didn't panic, you know, moved to his right when it looked like McDavid going to go to his right, go to his left, whatever. He just stayed right with it, rolled with it, and then calmly knocks the puck away.
He's got
that was a big boy moment, man.
A hot dog roller in his living room, and he's got a Red Wing tattoo on his forehead. It's Kenny Cott behind the glass. You were excited about that.
I think, Gator, you nailed it when you brought up the Connor McDavid play. They're doing it against elite talent last night. This isn't a bum team. This isn't the San Jose Sharks they're doing this against. They're playing big boy hockey. They're playing big boy minutes. Marco Kasper, I think out of all the guys you mentioned, has impressed me the most because, like you said, Gator, at the beginning of the season, he didn't put up eye-popping numbers. At the beginning of the season, he was working hard. You could tell that he was putting the effort in, but it just didn't pan out to results. Now we're seeing, you're right, point a game, point a game, point a game. He's not looking out of place, and it's against high-quality competition.
The top line. You're on the top line. You're going to take on the top line.
And Simon Edvinson, I saw some of his like advanced nerdy metrics. I won't get into the minutia of it, but him and Mo Sider are putting up great defensive metrics, top of the league pairing type of stuff.
And Soderblom has also stepped in since he's been brought up. Look, he's not playing on the top two lines, but he looks pretty good out there with Rasmussen and Fisher. I like that line. They combined for a goal last night, and you notice him. It's hard not to when you're 6'8", whatever he is, 250 pounds. But he's starting to use that reach and use that body, and he's got hands that are soft enough that he can make passes. There's a lot of young guys in this team. They have a lot of talent that this team is – maybe they're poised to be in a really good place soon.
Do you think Soderblom sticks around up here?
I think he does.
I think he might play his way into it.
Yeah.
He's playing well enough. He certainly doesn't look out of place.
We're 4 weeks away from, I'm sorry, 5 weeks away from the trade deadline. Eisman's got some decisions to make. I mean, they'll have Patrick Kane will come back soon. And you're going to have to start shifting rosters. You know, I mean, Schein's probably going to go back down or whatever. But I think Soderblom's earned his keep here.
Tell you what, it's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
So we're always looking for something, and we've seen it recently, and that is when you have a team that's not particularly good, you're looking to be able to put a pin in that moment in time they turned it around. And you don't know if it's happening here with the Red Wings, or the Pistons for that matter, but the equivalent of when the Lions were 1-6 in Dan Campbell's second year, and they won a home game against Green Bay 15-9. And they proceeded to win, I think, 7 of their last 8 games it was, and they're 40-13 or whatever it is since. Like, that moment when they won that game was the beginning of the flip in terms of the results. And so you're wondering when it's going to, when it might happen for our teams. Like, I mean, I don't know if the Tigers did that last year. I looked it up. The Tigers were 7 games under 500. They won a game at San Francisco and then swept Seattle and went, you know, 24-12 the rest of the way and made the playoffs, whatever it was. It was something like that. And so that was the beginning, early couple weeks of August. Is that the beginning of a turnaround for the Tigers where they're going to be good for a minute here? Is the firing of Derek Lalonde and bringing in Todd McClellan, is that the moment in time that this team is launched into an era of being pretty good? The Pistons have really turned it around since the middle of December. Is that the moment in time that we'll look back at and say that's when they started to really turn the corner? I mean, because if you think about it, the way the Tigers finished the season, if they enter the season this year playing that way, they're going to be damn good.
Yeah.
If the Red Wings are going to finish the hockey season the way they've started under McClellan, they're going to the playoffs. And if the Pistons continue to play the way they, and they now they need a win, but if they continue to play the way they've played since December 11th or 12th or whenever it was that they got hot again, they're going to make the playoffs and probably be outside of the play-in tournament. I don't know if that's the equivalent of the Green Bay game, if any of these, but we've got the three other teams outside the Lions, which are on the marquee of Detroit sports, all with these potential turnaround moments that we'll monitor. They're not all going to work out. They're not all going to work out, but it's good to see. They all, I mean, the Tigers finished last season on such a heater. Red Wings, that's a nice win, man.
Yeah, and it's easy to point to Red Wings and see where it is because yep. It's a coaching change, all right? The first game out, not so much. You know, when they lost to Toronto, but since that moment, they've been, you know, 12-3-1. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Yep.
This team. And they went through a 7-game win streak. Now they got a 4-game win streak going here. This is exciting stuff to watch this team, and it's the kind of hockey they're playing. And during this, you know, the transition to McClellan, a lot of it had been with the power play. Well, the power play has kind of calmed down the last few games. Maybe that coincides with Patrick Kane being hurt, but they're still finding a way to win. Like, didn't they go 0-for in the power play last night? And they still win. How do you beat Edmonton when you don't score a power play? And by the way, how do you keep Edmonton didn't score a power play goal either. How do you do that with all the players they have? The penalty kill has gotten better. The power play has been better, although the last few games not so much. But overall, under McClellan, these are two big changes. And, you know, there's definitely a difference in the energy that the team is putting out every night. That had to change, and it's changed. And maybe there was an edict from Yzerman, and McClellan comes in. He's a no-nonsense guy and lays it out. Remember, just play effing hockey.
Wasn't the first goal was a power play goal, wasn't it, for Edmonton?
I thought it the came one that right
bounced,
after.
It might have. The one that bounced over Sherratt's stick. Probably not his favorite moment last night. How does a goalie, by the way, in Alex Lyon, basically give up a terrible goal where he tries to flop on the puck and misses and still have a great game and be like number one star kind of guy? It can happen. 248-539-9797. Wings fans, have they turned the corner? Like, is this team...
Drysdale's goal was a power play.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Is this team, do you really believe they've turned the corner and they're going to ride this right into the postseason, into the Stanley Cup playoffs? The FanDuel Kick of Destiny is back, and this time it's every Manning for himself. The Super Bowl II legends will take the field, sudden death field goal showdown, Peyton versus Eli live from New Orleans. One kick to claim ultimate family bragging rights. Who will rise to the moment? Pick your winner now in the FanDuel app, and if you back the right brother, you'll earn a share of $10 million in bonus bets. It's the FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3. Make your free pick, and don't forget to tune in to the Showdown Live during the Super Bowl 59 pregame show on Fox, 3 p.m. Eastern. May the best Manning win. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Doug and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. No purchase necessary. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. You know, we were talking about turning points, and we got some feedback here. How about the Williamsport game for the Tigers? Remember that? The Little League game?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They came from behind. Yeah. They came from behind, and it felt like everyone was there to see the Yankees, and the Tigers kind of stole the show, the young Tigers that... You know, all the little leaguers were there, and if you know, they showed a shot of the Tigers tying the game in the ninth, and the kids were going crazy. And I'm like, "Wow, did we just steal the show up in here?" And probably not. It was probably just a bunch of kids going, "Woohoo! We don't have to go back yet." Kids love extra innings.
Yeah, and the way they won it was great.
Yep. So no, that's a good call. And maybe the Todd McClellan hire is going to be a moment in time where, wow, everything changed for this team. Everything changed when they brought him in.
It's hard not to think that.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's when you've had this kind of success right off the out of the gate, and the comparison between the team before and after is so stark, you have to say that's it. You know, it's, you know, the players have to make that change, but the coach is motivating enough and finding ways to get the most out. That's what you want out of the coach.
Yep.
You know, you can do X's and O's all you want, but if you're able to get the players to execute, that's the thing. And he's definitely done that.
Next up, a Calgary team that is hanging on to the last wild card spot in the Western Conference. And then a game against Vancouver, who is 1 point behind that Calgary team. And those will be West Coast road trip back-to-back games on, I believe, what, Saturday, Sunday, right? Yeah, Saturday, Sunday. Then they got a day off and play Seattle. This is a tough trip. But, hey, playing really well. And they don't mind. They don't mind the early two-goal deficit, as they have proven the last two games that they have played. In the meantime, Pistons back in action tonight. They haven't reached a y'all-better-win-a-game stage, but it would be good for them to get a win. I think this is one of those nights, a get-right game against the Mavericks. Have faith that they're going to do exactly that. And news, Cade has made the All-Star team. And you know what I like to say? Cade has made his first All-Star game. Because that implies it'd be more.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it should.
Yep.
He's had a heck of a season so far. 25 points a game, 9 assists, with 6 rebounds. He's been great. And watching the game the other night against the Pacers, did you get a lot of traction talking about that yesterday?
Well, we talked about it a lot. And you know, whether or not, I mean, this team, if somebody gets ejected tonight and there's technicals, I'm just like, forget it. They're the bad boys. They're trying to be the bad boys, and they are the bad boys. Between the Orlando game and then this game and Isaiah Stewart and God, the walking off the floor, pointing back at Thomas Bryant, the holding the Detroit up to the fans. I don't even know if that works in the NBA in this day and age. I mean, Draymond Green was an important part of a championship Golden State team, so maybe it does, but
several teams.
Yeah, lean into it, I guess. We could revisit the Cade-Jalen Green debate. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was coming out, and there was people saying they should have taken Jalen Green, and, I mean, Jalen Green's still really good.
I just like that they've given us something to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, that it starts with the changing of the coach and a GM and letting these guys, you know, cook a little bit and make their moves, and they did, and now the team looks – it's a solid team. You know, they're now a game below 500, I think. Mm-hmm. But they're fun to watch. They give a maximum effort. And they're developing these players, which is exciting to see. Cade's having his best season. He's gotten better every year. Each of the 4 years he's been in the league, he has gotten better. And now he's gets his first All-Star appearance, which is awesome because he deserves it. But can they sustain this? You know, are they going to be a team that can be a 500 basketball team or slightly better than 500 team the rest of the way and therefore compete for, you know, a top six spot where they don't have to do the play-in thing?
Well, if they keep playing the way they are, and look, they're coming off two losses against – they're somewhat sobering losses.
Yeah.
But they're coming off two losses against teams ahead of them in the standings. It's – tonight isn't an important game, but it'll be a reassuring game. It'll be a kind of game that be good to see them get back on the winning track. And look, the Cade acknowledgement. So the All-Star game is fan voting, and is it fan voting players and management that put it together?
Media.
Fan voting players and media. And the fans get 50% of the vote?
Yes.
Do we know what Cade got in the fan voting?
I know it wasn't, you know, top three or anything like that.
So
LaMelo Ball led the fan voting for guards, and he did not make the play or the All-Star team.
That's really interesting. So that basically this means the people that are like either play the game or cover the game is what got Cade into the All-Star game.
Yeah, the people that, you know, it's the fan vote's kind of a popularity vote, right?
Yep. Sure.
We know that. Yep. So, yeah, so the guys, I guess, you want to respect more of their basketball IQ and their opinion. Yeah, it's the players and the media.
That's really cool. I mean, I would imagine as a player, the name recognition and being acknowledged by the fans is, you probably love it all, but the fact that your peers had something to do with it, that feels, you know, to me, that's the bigger deal.
Yeah, Cade was sixth in the fan ranking for guards in the Eastern Conference for the NBA.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's still pretty, that's still getting your respect. I mean, is he the sixth best guard in the East? I don't know, but he's certainly established himself in this league enough to get this kind of acknowledgement. So
yeah, first Pistons All-Star since Blake Griffin.
Wow.
You know what's
right.
crazy about that is I saw that today, and it's first Pistons All-Star since Blake Griffin, which was back in 2019, and it feels like it was eons ago. Like,
that's pre-COVID.
But if you'd asked me, what year did that happen? I would have, I don't know, 2016? I would have thought it was a lot longer than 2019. But this is way more exciting than Blake Griffin.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, Blake Griffin made the All-Star team as a Piston without playing above the rim.
Yeah.
He was pretty much a three-point shooter.
Now, I bet he got in on fan voting.
He had to change his game. Yeah, I mean, but he was an All-Star with the Clippers, so you kind of traded for an All-Star. The Cade thing feels better and different because it is. I mean, you drafted homegrown. This guy. Yeah, yeah, homegrown. You developed him, watch him grow, and then the team starts to win, and then he gets recognition.
It's organic.
Do they have a next All-Star? Who would be their next All-Star?
Jalen Duren, maybe?
I mean, Ivy was playing well, but their next All-Star might be someone they trade for.
Right.
Maybe it's Malik Beasley.
Asur?
We would have to play more.
It was a long way to go. I know people are super Asur excited, but he's got a long way to go.
You win games in this league, you get more recognition. That's the one thing that hurt LaMelo if you're a LaMelo Ball fan. That team's terrible. It doesn't matter how many stats you put up.
All right, 248-539-9797. Three people from NFL.com have mocked the same player to the Lions. We'll tell you who it is today at 11:31 here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, to get some Red Wing feedback here. Joe and the Thumb. He sent a text. It's okay. The last two games, the Wings got down by two goals and came back to win them both. Score five in a row against Kings, and not too many teams win in Edmonton, falling behind to start a game. As long as Larkin stays healthy, the Wings make the playoffs, maybe even top three in the Atlantic. Okay, so a couple things here. One is, like, Dylan Larkin, Raymond, Casper, you know, they really, that line has been so, so good. And, you know, it's developing other scoring. As far as making the top three, I think they're 3 points out. Let me double check.
They are 3 points.
Three
out.
Points out. I mean, that'd be cool. And it'd be nice to be something other than like first round fodder, too. Like, going with a little bit of momentum and, Looking like they could do some damage. I think Casper has potential to be a 30-goal guy a year in a couple of years. Very impressive what I've seen so far. That's from an unnamed texter. McClellan has turned Raymond into a thinking puck carrier that can hold it and make a play. He's skating around people. So are many of the other guys. Alex DeBrincat's got to love playing with Raymond on the power play because he's got two goals in the last four or five games where it feels like the only person that knew where DeBrincat was the puck carrier, yeah. Raymond, where he just set him up with yawning nets.
Yeah, DeBrincat absolutely would be happy that a guy like Lucas Raymond's out there. DeBrincat benefits from having guys that can get him the puck. It's why he works so well with Patrick Kane. And when Patrick Kane's on the power play, everybody's better. But there's no question Lucas Raymond has taken his game up to a level that I didn't know if he was going to be able to. We saw at the end of last year, he came up with big play after big play, big goal after big goal Like, is that sustainable? Is this what he is? Yeah, that's who he is. This is a guy who's better than point a game.
Yeah.
Is this a guy that could threaten 100 points in a season at some point? Yeah.
And then there's this one. The Wings will choke in the end of the regular season like they always do. No playoffs again this year. Just play effing hockey. Just as easy as snapping your fingers. Yeah, right.
All right. I got to go home. I thought we had a chance.
You sick?
Feeling sick again?
Right, yeah, it's too bad. What, signed Maple Leaf fan? Signed Chicago fan?
Oh.
I don't know who it is. But the point is, do you think to just play effing hockey, it doesn't come with a list of things that entails, you know?
I mean, 17 games into it, it's still a short sample size, but it's not that short of a sample size.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Okay, Gator, you found it. Three people from the NFL Network have all mocked the same player to the Detroit Lions. So this is apparently some sort of spoiler. If you don't want to know what happens in the Lions draft, maybe you shouldn't listen. What do you got?
Well, this is a mock draft, NFL.com, and it comes from Eric Edholm, who's the lead draft writer for them.
Yep.
And he starts off with Abdul Carter going first overall, which is interesting, Tennessee, followed by Travis Hunter. Cam Ward, the first quarterback, goes to the Giants. Mason Graham from Michigan goes fourth overall to the Patriots, followed by Tyler Warren. Then Ashton Jeanty, sixth overall, to the Raiders. Shedeur Sanders would go to the Jets at seven. Other players of interest, you get down. I thought this was interesting that I think it's at 21 is Will Johnson going to Pittsburgh. At 20, Colston Loveland goes to Denver. Caleb Johnson, the running back from Iowa, would go 22nd to Jim Harbaugh on the Chargers. Then you get to Derek Harmon, former Michigan State Spartan, finished his career at Oregon. The defensive tackle goes to Minnesota at 24. The pick is in at 28 for the Detroit Lions. And the pick is edge rusher Mike Green from Marshall. Now, here's what Ed Holden had to say about it. He said, I was both pleased and irritated that Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks each mocked Green to the Lions because it just feels perfect right now. He has Lions-y intensity and can be worked into the rotation early. So not one, not two, but three mock drafts from the same website, NFL.com, three different people, independents there.
So
they have the same player going at 28 overall.
That's interesting. I've talked about him a little bit, and I'm way behind on my typical draft preparation because we actually had a football season to follow. But he was an early guy that I thought was a sleeper. He's no sleeper at all. He's gone to the Senior Bowl, and he stood out. And I'm trying to figure out how to process Senior Bowl performances. And we'll get to that in a minute. But, yeah, I'm a big Mike Green fan. He had 17 sacks last year at Marshall, and he's had a good week. A good week down in Mobile. 248-539-9797. Matt in Rochester, you're next on 97.1. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right, Matt.
What's up?
I want to talk about the Red Wings a little bit. I'm really impressed with them, and recently it's been great seeing some of the young guys play a lot better. Casper looks like a stud. Even Albert Johansson's been playing really good defensively. But one thing to note, I look at the standings after every game, and this wild card race is such a gauntlet. I mean, you can hardly even see progress at some of their wins as far as the standings go. And if you look at their schedule, it is just brutal. Now, I think they can do it. It just begs the question, like, where could this have been had they fired Newsy, you know, after that Western road trip where they lost to San Jose and Anaheim? Like, if he would have been gone earlier in the season, where could this have been? I really think they could do it, but it's still such an uphill climb. You just don't know.
Yeah, I find myself, I very rarely do the where could they have been thing because it's counterproductive. But yeah, if you look at trying, there's so many teams in the mix here, it is hard to make progress. I mean, it was nice that Boston lost last night, but did everybody else in the chase here win? It feels like it.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Ottawa won. Tampa won. The Islanders won. I mean, you know, so it's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, they're in a position where it might be easier to get to that third spot in the Atlantic than just take care of all of it, get out of the wild card chase, and catch up to the Senators. Only 3 points behind the Senators, so
that could happen.
Although, again, Tampa and Boston are right there, so it's just it's going to be somebody's. I mean, this whole wild card thing has basically kept everybody involved but Buffalo. So, all right. So we mentioned there before the caller, the Senior Bowl. How meaningful is the Senior Bowl? Because Gator, the last few years, I think about guys that I have fallen in love with watching Senior Bowl practices. And was I rewarded for falling in love with Andy Isabella, the wide receiver from UMass?
No, sir.
Yeah.
Went to the Cardinals and really didn't do much.
I remember Travis Fulgham from Old Dominion.
The wide receiver?
Yeah.
Lions drafted him.
Yeah. The only one, and it's weird because I seem to have a pattern of falling in love with wide receivers, and it's not like this guy's been elite, but Zay Jones is still playing, the wide receiver out of East Carolina, was a Senior Bowl. Who is this guy? But I feel like the Senior Bowl feels like hard data that we should be paying attention to, and I'm not sure that reality it is.
Who was the running back you love that ran like very upright?
Yeah, the kid from Slippery Rock.
He was like 6'4".
Yeah, what was his name? Willie?
Oh, I think it was Will something.
Was it? It wasn't Will Shipley.
No.
What the hell was his name?
But there was a running back.
Will Hunting?
Wills. Wills?
Wills, yeah. It was something Wills. He played with the Lions, right?
Yeah, they did sign him, and I'm like, yes! What the hell was it? Here it is. I found it. Wes Hills. I was in love with the guy. I was like, this guy's, who's ever heard of him? Like, look at this guy.
Boy, does he run weird.
Yeah, he did run weird.
Look, what are you going
to do? I got that right, didn't I?
Yeah, sure. If a guy stands out, a guy stands out, right?
Yep.
And you're only going to see the good reps of players. When you're looking through Twitter, because neither one of us is really paying attention to it on if they're even, are they advertising? Are they airing the workouts on TV?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've seen highlights of it. Yep. So I'm not taking that deep dive, but you see players that look awfully good. Mm-hmm. Like I saw a rep where Donovan Edwards just made a defensive back look stupid and made a cut and was wide open to the point where the defensive back is out of frame of the shot. It was that good. Restrepo, the receiver from Miami, has been showing up. And then with Tez Johnson, the receiver from Oregon, has been all over the place. But I knew that anyway.
Right.
Right? I knew these were good players to begin with. What I like out of it is seeing the one-on-one battles with the defensive lineman and the offensive lineman. Because that's where you see.
That was Mike Green versus Josh Connerly, where I'm like,
yeah,
stop doing this, Mike. Everyone's going to learn about you, which of course is ridiculous. But
he's not the only one. There's a couple other defensive linemen that fared very nicely there. So I'm not going to blow up too much with it. But I know you do enjoy it.
I do. Kang brought up a name of a Senior Bowl, like super hype guy. That really didn't do much, but everybody was talking about him at the Senior Bowl. Like, I think I did a NFL scouts vote this guy tops at the Senior Bowl.
Did they? Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my. Yeah,
we will get to that today at 11:46. It is Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, here we go. These were some of the headlines on the quick Google search about this player who exploded onto the scene at the Senior Bowl. Blank turns heads at Senior Bowl with wide receiver play. NFL scouts. Vote blank, top Senior Bowl performer. Blank, turning heads. Blank is a fascinating prospect. And that name is, Kang?
Ohio State's Braxton Miller. Now, you may remember him as a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's, right. You know, for the NFL. So the next level, though, he had to switch positions because he wasn't going to make it as a quarterback. And so he went and did the receiver drills, and he was apparently lighting up the cornerbacks at Senior Bowl.
He
like
had
this,
that slant pattern down the goal line, right?
Yep, exactly. Remember this?
I do.
Ever since then, I will never believe another Senior Bowl report ever. For that, this is me. This is a Kang thing, and I think he's not even in the league now. He's 32 years old, but I remember, Doug, and I forgot those headlines, though, but I remember vividly the reports in general that were coming out and saying this guy is just he should have been a receiver the entire time. He's this good. I think he ended up being a third-round pick because of the hype.
Yeah, he accrued two seasons' worth of stats with Houston, his rookie year and his second year. He caught 34 passes, one touchdown each year, 261 yards. Then he bounced around some practice squads, and that was it. But, man, was there some hype.
There was some hype.
He became a third-round pick as a receiver.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I mean, look, it's...
Now, it does work the other way, too, though. Didn't Christian Watson get a ton of love?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And Tyreek Woolen was another one who got a ton of love out of the Senior Bowl or the practices, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. I mean, it does. It's funny, though, because we do the same thing with the combine.
What?
We do the same thing at spring training.
Come on.
Only, no.
And wait a second.
Gator doesn't do the spring training thing. No,
batting practice.
Take it back. Nope. Gator didn't do that.
No. No. Cracking a bat doesn't make any different kind of sound in spring than it does or from off any player. And it's not like you hear the ball popping in the catcher's mitt any louder with somebody pitching. Like, no, none of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody comes into camp looking better than they've ever looked in their entire career.
A shape of his life.
No.
We're human. We're not immune to
new attitude, new team.
Yep. All right. Five Senior Bowl practices.
New diet.
Who could be first round fits for the Lions? This according to Richard Silva of the Detroit News. Are you ready, my friend?
I am.
All right, here we go. First, defensive lineman Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. This was a five-star recruit that everybody wanted out of high school. Didn't he start? He went to Texas A&M? Is that correct?
I believe so.
One of the legendary
class.
Texas A&M class eventually ended up at Ole Miss. But he could be a guy.
He's a big guy, like 330 or something like that.
Something like that, yep. That's a name that is associated. Could be a Detroit Lion. From Ole Miss, edge rusher. Princely Amon-Miellen.
Good job.
Could be. Thank you very much. Amon-Miellen, 6'4", 265. Played at Florida. He also transferred to Ole Miss. Only two players in college football played 100 or more snaps this past season. Had a better overall defensive grade from Pro Football Focus than Amon-Miellen. And those two players were Buffalo linebacker Sean Dolak and Marshall edge rusher Mike Green. So if you want yourself an edge rusher, there you go. Cornerback from Florida State, Azarie Thomas, 6'2", 191, adding him to a unit that already includes a couple of premium selections in first-rounder Terrion Arnold and second-rounder Ennis Rakestraw. Tabbed as a top 100 recruit. Among 325 cornerbacks who were targeted 30 times or more in 2024, Thomas allowed a passer rating of 50.2, 21st out of everybody in college football. Oh, I love this name. From Arkansas, edge rusher Landon Jackson. I love it because it's a lot easier to say. 6'6", 273. Could make sense for the Lions.
All right.
Yep.
Good size.
Yep. And how about this guy? Gray Zabel, offensive lineman, Nodak State. 6'5", 316. And I could see them going O-line in this draft.
I could see O-line. I could see D-line. I could see corner. I could see receiver.
I think Gray Zabel's only going to play O-line. Oh, you mean you could see them going at that position?
Yes.
Sorry.
I don't think that... Well, you never know. I mean, Penei Sewell, Doug.
Well, Penei Sewell is certainly a...
Dan Skipper.
Versatile player. Yeah, that's right.
Malcolm Rodriguez. played fullback.
There you go.
All can Gray Zabel of North Dakota State catch a pass? Can he throw a pass?
The truth, Sione Vaki.
The truth.
Safety and running back.
That is correct. So five names from the Senior Bowl. So you haven't watched it. You were sick. God, if I were sick, do you know how much Senior Bowl practice I would have watched?
I chose my TV viewing poorly.
You were sick, man. You were not in the right mind.
I was not, and I was really not in my right mind watching when I was watching.
It was making it worse.
Very upset.
He decided to frustrate the hell out of himself.
I did.
Well, look, it's always a fun time here.
Yes or no? Just answer the question.
Just don't, Cater.
Do you think the Lions going to select an offensive lineman? Yes or no?
Thank you. We have breaking news. Shams from ESPN, NBA writer, is reporting that Detroit's Isaiah Stewart has been suspended one game for his sixth flagrant foul point of the season. So do they appeal that?
I don't think so.
Or is he just miss?
He's going to get fined $50,000 as well for gesturing to the crowd and to the players. Just take your medicine. Sit out. You deserve, I mean, dude, the way he just set up that block and moved through him, he deserved to be ejected. And it's based on a number of ejections, right?
Yeah.
Or technical fouls.
It was
or whatever.
The second, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just.
Of that game. Not of the year. He's had many more than that.
Yeah. Sit out. Nobody, I mean, I don't think anybody's terribly upset. Sounded like after the game, J.B. Bickerstaff wasn't terribly upset with him.
He defended him.
He said, look, when you say something that crosses the line, now everybody wants to know what was said.
Well, he actually asked the media, now this is up to you to do the fishing. Like, he is calling out the media. Find out what was
said. If you guys want to go ahead, you go do it. I'll let you guys go ahead and figure it out. Has anybody gone ahead and figured it out?
Nobody has. I haven't seen a report as to what was said to Isaiah Stewart that triggered him.
Wasn't about Legos, right?
No, that was the previous game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But the truth is, the gesturing part, too, it's unfortunate he's getting fined for that because that was my favorite part. Was the gesturing part. And did you see the wording when the official did the review and he leans over into the mic and they make the call?
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember what he said.
His wording was, after review, there is windup, impact, and follow through. The play is a non-basketball play. It's unnecessary and excessive.
Are you saying that hitting a blocking sled is not an NBA play? Because that's what he did. He wound up, he hit, and he followed through.
Impact. Wound up, impact.
Wound up, impact, and follow through.
Which I'm like, okay, whoever that official is, that's the guy that knows the exact wording in the rule book. Like, he used the exact wording from the rule book. And to me, it was, I feel like as a father, there has been a time where I have said to one of my kids, that was unnecessary and excessive.
I feel like that's exactly how you would talk to your kids, Doug. You're a big rule guy.
Yeah.
You probably say, you're like AI generated, man. It's like, this is what you did wrong. This is what you're being punished for. There was wind up, son.
Yep.
There was follow through.
There was impact and there was follow through. So they might be without beef stew tonight. There is no word yet that I've seen. $50,000 to make an inappropriate objectionable gestures following his ejection. That's according to Mari Sankofa. Was it really that objectionable, though?
He was just pointing at a guy and then raising
his jersey.
Then he
showed his jersey. Yeah, like, this is the team I play for.
Now, maybe it's what he said while he was pointing at the guy. I don't know what he said.
Or there might have been something that didn't make our broadcast, but the league.
I think anybody going off the court and pointing, it's not even so much. It's not like you're doing the middle finger, right? That's obvious. Just the fact that you're making any gesture is going to get you in trouble. I'm going to guess it was accompanied by some salty language that they don't really want out there.
Do you know who made the announcement? in the press release from the NBA?
Joe Dumars, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. The executive VP and head of basketball operations. Wasn't it, wasn't Shanahan?
Didn't he do it for the NHL,
Dumars? It's pretty amazing to me that our teams keep producing the guys that have to hand out the fines. What's great about it, too, they have a link at the end of their press release. It says, to view Stewart's flagrant foul, click here. Mm. So, yeah, Beef Stew out. It looks like he will miss tonight's game against the Mavericks and get fined.
Maybe Rusty Kuntz will take that job with the Major League Baseball.
You went there, huh?
Why not?
couldn't come up with anybody a little bit more recent?
I went for the name. Went for the laugh. Gang knows what I'm doing.
I enjoyed it.
As he is known to do. All right. Hey, just a reminder, you can listen to the show using the Odyssey app, or you can also win a nationwide prize, including $20,000 to go see the best, go to Vegas for the best sporting event to be in Vegas for, coming up in March.
Wow.
Yep. So listen on the Odyssey app. Download for your mobile device today. AUDACY. You can also listen to our website, 971theticket.com, where that story the Birchie Kid did that we were talking about a little bit earlier regarding David Shaw. Go check it out for yourself at 971theticket.com and stream the show. Additionally, you can stream with video by going to twitch.tv and youtube.com. Participate in the streaming chat. Gator is back after fighting off a cough this week. Coming up next, the latest on a free agent that is slow playing it. An MLB insider talks about Alex Bregman. We'll get to that today at 12:05 here on Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.